The following program is sponsored by Shoreline Transportation Services and is responsible for its content.
Here in Ohio, homeowners, taxpayers, and business owners alike are facing the weight of ever-rising, unjust property tax. Because of this, it's time we come together to speak out, question, and demand change. From Citizens for Property Tax Reform, that conversation starts now. This is the voice of the people.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Voice of the People. So Voice of the People is brought to you by Citizens for Property Tax Reform. We are a local, grassroots, nonpartisan group seeking property tax relief for senior citizens and property tax reform for all Ohio homeowners. So welcome on this chilly but sunny afternoon. And I'd like to say hello to everybody here tonight. First of all, I'd like to say hello to the number one producer with Salem Communications, Style.
Hey, Keith, how
are you? How you doing, Style? Good to see you, my friend. We'd like to say hello to our media director, Beth. Beth is on sabbatical tonight. Beth, if you're out there listening, I'm sure you are. Hello. I hope you're doing well, and we look forward to seeing you soon. So we also have tonight our call girl, Connie Manziel. Hi, Connie.
Excuse me. Hello.
And we call her our call girl because she, we have some people that are not internet or email savvy. And when we have events, if you are one of those people, Connie is the voice, the nice little voice that calls you and reminds you of events. She also gives out our phone numbers for our live call and talk show tonight. So, Connie, what are our call-in numbers that people can call in?
They are 866-525-0955 or 216-901-0933.
One more time.
866-525-0955 or 216-901-0933.
Thank you, Connie. And we have the two sons of thunder here. Bill Holman and Kyle Kutz, how are you doing tonight, guys?
Good, Keith.
Hi, Keith, how are you?
They're our active. Good. Good to see you. So real quick, I just want to thank everybody that joined us at our event in Zanesville Saturday. What a great turnout. We had a great crowd show up. We had some great speakers. And I was just impressed with there was farmers there and just some really great people. They treated us so nice. Thank you for joining us. I want to thank specifically Teresa Caw. Teresa, if you're listening, thank you so much for setting that up. And Teresa McCabe for setting it up with your brother to let us use that beautiful barn that is now a banquet center, the Scale House. So thank you. We had a wonderful time. And so when we were down in Zanesville, we rolled out our petition, our initiative petition, to abolish property tax in the state of Ohio. And Bill's going to tell you a little more about that. But essentially, as we told the people in Zanesville, we have worked or tried to work with state legislatures for almost 2 years now, and they really have done nothing for us. And we don't have a lot of hope that they're going to do anything in this budget year. So we feel as though they kind of forced us into taking this to the people and putting together a constitutional amendment. So we rolled out our initiative. We have our petitions out there for phase one. Real quick, phase one of this petition drive will be the initial petition is about 1,000 signatures. We're going to sign, send down to the Secretary of State. Frank LaRose's office is going to look at it, make sure that everything looks right, that it's not deceptive, that it's clear. He will send that back to us, hopefully approving it, and then we will go into phase two, which will be about 460,000 signatures we're going to need statewide, so we'll probably collect 600,000 or 700,000 minimum. We'll have to go over all 88 counties and have a minimum of 44 counties on these petitions. So it's going to be a heavy lift, and we're really going to need you for this effort, folks. So that's where we're at, but we do. Thank you, Lord. We finally got that petition. It's drafted, and we got it on the streets, and we're going. So, Bill, tell us a little bit more about what we're planning to do here locally.
Okay, so in the upcoming weeks here, I want everyone to pay attention to our Facebook page. We are going to be posting some special dates out there in certain locations for people to come out and sign this petition. This is going to be your opportunity to join up with us and get signatures. And please bring your friends and your neighbors out to our events as we post them. Like I said, please just pay attention to our Facebook page, because that's where we're going to be notifying everybody to our locations and the dates that we're going to be doing this. And by all means, make sure that everybody you bring out and invite are registered, because that's also very important.
Exactly. And you can also go to our website for updates, reformpropertytax.com, reformpropertytax.com. For those of you that are not computer savvy, we will give you a phone number here before the end of the show that you can call Beth directly and get some information. So reformpropertytax.com. And Bill, what is the Facebook site? Tell everybody that we want you to look for.
So the Facebook page is Citizens for Property Tax Reform Ohio.
Ohio. And please forward that to your other friends. And
yeah, please share it, follow it,
like it.
You know, and just keep share. That's so important.
Sharing's good. Kyle Kutz, tell us what we got coming up, and you can introduce our special guest for tonight.
Okay, thank you, Keith. I'm going to start off first by telling everybody out there, 2 weeks from today, that's April 15th, Tuesday, we are going to have a special guest, Sarah Wolf. She's been on the show before.
Yes.
She is one of our partners and the head of that group down there in the Hamilton County, Cincinnati area. And so that'll be 2 weeks from tonight, April 15th. So stay tuned. She's got some very interesting and new information to talk to everybody about. So stay tuned for that. So we've got two events, Keith, that are happening that anybody can go to. You don't have to be in that particular district to attend these meetings to talk to the state reps. So the first one is April 24th. That is a Thursday. And that is held by Representative Nick Santucci. He's District 64. That's the Niles area. And Representative Dave Thomas, he's 65, District 65. And they are going to be at the Cadence Coffee Shop in Niles. That's 31 North Main Street in Niles from 9 to 10 a.m. And again, they're going to talk about a whole lot of things, but most times people are asking and want to know more about property tax. So attend if you can. The next one is Friday, the next day, April 25th, Representative Tristan Rader. District 13, he's out of the Lakewood area. He is going to be holding an event at what's called the Civilization. It's down in the Tremont area, 2366 11th Street, Tremont area, from 9 to 11 a.m. So please, if you can attend those, we encourage that. And you can find out more. Even though they may not be your district rep, they are more than willing to answer questions. And you need to go out and ask those questions. So please, we encourage you to do that. So at this time, Keith, I'm going to introduce our special guest. His name is Micah Zockham. Micah is a certified public accountant. He's a small landlord in Lakewood, Ohio. And tonight he's going to talk about TIFs, T-I-F, a TIF. So Micah, welcome.
Maya, thanks. Thanks,
Thank
Micah.
You.
Thank you for joining us, our resident expert on TIFs. Tell us tell us what a TIF is. First of all, tell us a little bit about Micah.
Sure. So, as mentioned, I'm a CPA and small landlord. I was fortunate enough to buy a few properties before home prices went out of control and ultimately became a full-time landlord. My goal has always been to provide quality apartments at reasonable rents.
Good for you.
Until tenants can purchase their own home. But with rents rising to cover property taxes, we all know homeownership is becoming more and more difficult to achieve. And I've also witnessed many of my homeowner neighbors struggle with the increased taxes this year. I started going to city council to point this out, but Lakewood seemed to be more focused on giving large tax breaks to a developer through a TIF instead of helping the average homeowners and renters. So as far as the TIF goes, a TIF stands for tax increment financing.
Okay.
There's several different types of TIFs, all of which can be tweaked to meet the needs of local government, but the basic structure is similar. So how about I tell you a story to explain how it works?
I like stories.
We all like stories.
We all like stories.
That's good. So welcome to Happytown, Ohio, a quaint little city where you and 50,000 of your closest friends work hard.
I think I know this city.
Raise your families, pay your mortgage, and pay property taxes to the city, the county, and the award-winning schools where all the students are above average. So despite its excellent reputation, Happytown is a sad, empty plot of land owned by the city that has sat vacant for many years. So Mayor Molly is ecstatic when developer Dan proposes a development on the land with 200 apartments. Not only will the development eliminate an eyesore, Mayor Molly is planning to use city taxes from the new tenants to fund the community center. So developer Dan explains to Mayor Molly that construction is really expensive these days, so Mayor Molly and City Council agree to enter into a TIF to help fund the development. Developer Dan will buy the parcel from the city and pay real estate taxes on the value of vacant land. Those taxes will go to the schools, the city, the county, just like real estate taxes the existing residents pay. Developer Dan will also pay real estate taxes on the full value of the buildings he will build, but instead of those taxes going to the schools, the city, and the county, they will be diverted to pay for construction costs. Hmm. So this is where the term tax increment financing comes into play. The incremental taxes above the land value are used to finance the construction. Now, the TIF will not cover all of the construction, but it's still a great deal. So in Ohio, the initial term of a TIF can last up to 30 years. Since Mayor Molly really wants the community center and developer Dan threatens to walk away with anything less, Mayor Molly gets City Council to approve a full 30-year term. This means a generation of children will have their own children before developer Dan pays a dime in real estate taxes for the city, county, and schools. So just like any developer, developer Dan will need to pay for materials and his workers up front, not over 30 years. So Mayor Molly calls her favorite investment banker, Wall Street Wade. Wall Street Wade takes his fees and agrees to find enough wealthy individuals to fund construction up front. In exchange, the wealthy individuals get a fancy piece of paper signed by Mayor Molly stating that they will be paid back by the city of Happytown over 30 years with interest from the incremental taxes. Since Happytown is issuing these bonds, Wall Street Wade reminds the wealthy individuals that they will not pay federal income taxes on the interest. This enables Happytown to reduce the interest rate on bonds, since part of the interest earned by the wealthy individuals will not go to Uncle Sam. While the Happytown citizens are paying market interest rates on their mortgage, developer Dan will be paying less. So since developer Dan is really smart, he'll use those savings to add doggy daycare and charge more in rent. So before the listeners out there say this is too good to be true, under this type of TIF, Happytown must state in the ordinance approving the TIF that the TIF benefits the public good. In reality, this is just a legal publicity stunt. So to make this statement, all the city has to do is own the land before the ordinance is approved and rent or convey the land to developer Dan. Although it's not legally required, Mayor Molly figures she needs some talking points to convince the voters the TIF is a good idea. Developer Dan agrees to reduce rents on 20 apartments for low-income families over the life of the TIF and add a playground accessible to the public. Never mind, the affordable apartments will not help those who want to stay in their own homes but are struggling to pay their real estate taxes.
Right.
So before the city council can approve the ordinance, there's one more hoop to jump through. When the TIF diverts more than 75% of the incremental value and or lasts longer than 10 years, cities are required to enter into a compensation agreement with the schools.
Hmm.
This will transfer some of the city income taxes to be paid by the tenants of the development to the schools. Hmm. Now, Mayor Molly really wants these taxes for her community center, so Mayor Molly and developer Dan make an offer the school board cannot refuse. After all, the land has sat vacant for years, and if developer Dan backs out, the land might remain vacant for many more years. Plus, TIF agreements have become so prevalent that if the school board tells Mayor Molly and developer Dan to go pound sand, the next developer that eventually comes along will demand similar terms. So the school board reluctantly approves the TIF with minimal compensation. City council passes the ordinance, and developer Dan builds his development. Now, developer Dan manages to rent out all the apartments, but it turns out that more children than expected moved into the apartments, leaving the school short on funds. The school board puts a levy on the ballot to increase real estate taxes to cover the shortfall. The TIF agreement requires developer Dan to participate in the levies that are approved after the TIF is signed, but perhaps the levy could have been avoided if the development paid their fair share in the first place.
Right.
The citizens of Happy Town that have paid their fair share all of their lives are now faced with a stark choice. Either vote for the levy that will increase their taxes to pay for the apartment children, or risk the quality of the education deteriorating for their own children and grandchildren. So to make matters worse, a few tenants at the development pass away, and the county coroner needs to come out. The coroner is required by law to come out, but the development is not paying real estate taxes covering these services. Did the county get a say? Nope. Happy Town also had to hire more police and paramedics to cover the increased calls from the development. At least the calls are routine. The development's residents are paying city income taxes to cover the salaries of the new police officers and paramedics, but the pensions of these new employees are paid from the city's portion of real estate taxes.
Right.
So guess who's not paying these taxes?
Right.
So a few years pass, and the good citizens of Happy Town have learned to live with the new development. The bondholders that we almost forgot about are collecting their payments and avoiding federal taxes. Unfortunately, a recession hits, the value of real estate declines, and the real estate taxes generated by the development are not enough to make all the payments due to the bondholders. Now, the dollar amount of the loan from the bondholders was conservatively calculated, but it was based on estimates when the bonds were issued, and no one has a crystal ball. Mayor Molly was smart enough not to guarantee repayment on the bonds, so the government of Happy Town could get away with not paying the shortfall, but this will hurt the city's credit rating, and their ability to get future loans.
Yep.
So Mayor Molly and City Council agree to pay the shortfall from city income taxes. Unfortunately, there were no happy endings for Happy Town. The community center was never built. Some of the citizens moved out of town since they could not afford the increase in real estate taxes, and Mayor Molly was voted out of office.
So, in your little story, and I'm sure I know this town intimately, but I mean, so just as an aside, so the whole thing on the bonds sounds very similar to me about what's going on with the Browns, but that's a whole nother story. But so I just want to clarify. So in the TIF, which is, and TIFs have been around for a while, it's kind of the fancy name. I say it's another name for an abatement, really, because it is. So the school board actually is intimately part of this. Is that correct, Micah?
In this example, yes.
Okay.
And at the minimum, the developer and the city council can do a TIF and cut out school taxes for 10 years and up to 75% of the expected increase in value.
Wow.
So anything above that, it requires school board approval, but it's really just a game of chicken. There can be situations where the school board gets less. There can be situations where the school board gets more, but typically at a minimum, they're out for 10 years and anything below that 75%.
Wow. So essentially the long and the short of it is when these TIFs come into fruition in any of these cities, essentially the rest of the taxpayers are picking up the slack, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. You guys got any questions? Go ahead, Mr. Kutz. Yeah,
Micah, is money laundering another way to describe a TIF from what you had just laid out? I mean, it sounds awful familiar.
I think that's fair. If you or I were to do that in our own business, I think we would be wearing a lot of orange. Right. But yeah, legally, I would view it as money laundering, or essentially someone is cutting in line ahead of you and taking your taxes out of your wallet and giving them to who they think is best, which is not necessarily what the voters want.
Right. Not best for the community.
I know we have just a short bit of time.
I just have
one more thing. So, Micah, you're saying no citizen votes on a TIF. Is that correct?
That's correct. The citizen obviously elects those officials, but there's no direct voting on the TIF. The best that can happen is enough citizens might complain.
Okay.
Or they could vote their council people or that elected official out of office.
Okay.
Assuming, of course, there's someone else that's running that's viable.
Yeah, well, that's always a problem in Happy Town. So real quick, before we finish up, I want to again, with our upcoming events for signing the petitions, and if you're interested in helping us in phase two, so go to our website, reformpropertytax.com, reformpropertytax.com, and get info, or take down this number real quick, 216-452-2961, 216-452-2961. That's our Citizens for Property Tax Reform office, and you can get a hold of Beth, and she'll update you on anything else you need. So before we go out, Mike, I do want to thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is fabulous knowledge, fabulous information for our group, and I would like to have you on again.
Absolutely.
To get more into the weeds on this, update us on what's happening in Happy Town.
we really like that story, by the way.
I love that story. I love that story, Happy Town. And so, you know, we don't mention any names, but for any of you folks that live in Lakewood, you may know who this is. and we're talking about the the hole in on Detroit Avenue, which was there for years and years and years, thanks to Mayor Molly and the council. So again, I want to thank Micah. I want to thank our team. You guys have been doing a great job. Please, the heavy lifting is coming very soon on this petition. Our state legislature has given us no alternative but to put this on the ballot to eliminate property tax in the city or in the entire state. And in future shows, we're going to talk about other ways that schools, fire departments, police departments, roads are funded otherwise than just attaching it to your house. Because if you have taxes attached to your property, you don't own your home, you just rent it. So thank you again. Say goodnight, Steve. Everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks. God bless. We'll see you next Tuesday.